FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and it's March 5th, 2019. We are coming to you from Toronto, Canada, the frigid financial capital of our neighbor to the north. And hey, Toronto is a great place. Just don't come here during the winter, I'll tell you that. Anyways, it's been a little cold in the precious metals markets as of late, and we need to get an idea of what's going on there, what's happening, and perhaps give us an indication of what will happen in the future. And with us now is our good friend, Jordan Roy Byrne, and Jordan runs thedailygold.com. Jordan, welcome back.
Hey, Gary. Thanks so much for having me.
So, market's down. I mean, right now we're looking gold right around $1,285 the ounce. It's down about, you know, $60, $70 from its recent high. What is happening here?
Well, unfortunately, the recent weakness that we've seen in the last couple of weeks tells us that we're still in a downtrend, a long-term downtrend with respect to precious metals. If you would look at more so the charts of silver and the gold stocks rather than gold, those charts will tell you that the long-term view is one of lower highs. That doesn't mean that we're going to take out the January 2016 lows, but it just means, aside from that, that the highs are, there's a pattern of lower and lower highs. And unfortunately, I think in the last couple of weeks, we've had this reversal, and leading up to it, I was getting optimistic because we were starting to see close to bull market signs. We're getting very close. One thing I was watching is a percentage of stocks, both for the HUI, which is basically the gold producers, and the GDXJ, the percentage of those that were closing above the 200-day. And I was really hoping we would get up to 90% in both those indices. And in the HUI, we got to 71%. In GDXJ, we got to 81%. And that was with gold getting up to 1350. In the miners, GDX and GDXJ, they got up, GDXJ got up to 35. GDX peaked just below 24, but I was really hoping that we'd see another push higher and that we'd get to 25 for GDX and 37 for GDXJ, and also 1360 for gold. And so that did not happen. And as a result of this reversal, we see lower highs on the charts. And so we're still in this long-term downtrend, unfortunately. And we're not going to see that change until precious metals really start to outperform the stock market. And, you know, that's going to happen around the time when the Fed is going to move from their current pause mode to cutting rates. And lastly, looking at the stock market, it had this huge sell-off, of course. The S&P 500 had quite a bit of resistance in the mid-2600s. We could just say 2650. So the bearish outlook would have been a rally up there and then a failure. Instead, what's happened over the last month is the S&P was able to surpass that resistance at 2650, and now it's up to 2800, and it's been holding there for the last week. And the advanced decline line, which is a leading indicator, for the stock market has already made a new all-time high. And just given the price action, the strength of the recovery there, and the advanced decline line, I see the S&P probably going to new highs. I mean, that's the path of least resistance now. And that is obviously not good for precious metals. So I think, you know, that the fact that the stock market surged through that resistance, given that, it's not a surprise that precious metals, you know, they kind of failed and reversed course in a bearish way. So that pretty much sums it up from my point of view.
So they're still like opposing pairs, right? Reverse pairs. When market goes up, gold goes down. When gold goes up, market goes down. Is that what we're seeing?
Right, for the most part. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're looking at every minute or every single day or every single week, they're going to be you're going to see that negative correlation. But in the bigger, broader view, to me, that's really what's happening. The stronger the stock market gets, the less easy Fed policy will be, or the market will be pricing in a tighter Fed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that happens, you know, every day the stock market's strong and it goes higher, you know, that will lead the market to think that, well, you know, the economy is not rolling over. Maybe things are okay. Maybe the Fed can hike again. And so that's obviously negative for precious metals. And we're just with that happening, we're just not going to see this big breakout that we're all waiting for. And the other thing I'll throw in there is also long-term interest rates, bond yields. Over the last couple of years, the best rallies in precious metals have been when we've seen long-term yields going lower. And long-term yields, for the most part, in the last couple of weeks, they've kind of bottomed out. They're starting to turn up again. So that also goes along with stock market strength. You're going to see probably a rise in long-term yields. Now, eventually, I think when we get into the next economic cycle and we're several years down the road, I think, you know, higher rates, higher long-term rates will be positive for precious metals. But where we are here and now in the current context, that's not positive for precious metals. So that if I'm correct and that long-term yields are turning up, that provides another headwind in the near term.
Yeah. So I guess we wait for the fourth quarter bump or some catalyst to happen otherwise, huh?
Yes. Well, it's interesting. If you go back the last 6 or 7 years, other than in 2016, the high for the year, for the most part, has been in January or February. So, I mean, is it possible we just saw the high of the high for the year for precious metals? I mean, it is possible, but we'll just have to wait and see. I'm not an economist, but I don't think the economy is that strong. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens, you know, over the next several months, over the next quarter or two. It'll be very interesting to see if we're going to see something like we saw in years past where, you know, the economy holds up, the stock market just moves higher and precious metals trend lower for the rest of the year. I don't really have a strong opinion on that either way, but I'll just point out that, again, over the last 7 years, pretty much every year except 2016, the high for the year for precious metals was basically in the first quarter, January or February. So we've already had a good sell-off the last couple of weeks from a February peak. So we'll see if that pattern is going to continue or if, you know, we might get something different. If, you know, maybe the economy won't be that strong and the Fed, you know, they won't be able to hike again. You know, that would obviously be better for precious metals. But again, you know, those are the things to watch moving forward. I mean, the stock market, especially relative to precious metals.
Yeah, well, the rumor on the street is that basically the Fed believes now that markets come back, that they're going to have the leeway they need to raise rates. And whether that's true or not, I guess we're just going to have to find out, like you said.
Right. And I think for an indication of that, watch the stock market and see if it tests its all-time high from last year and it goes above it and it goes through it and that kind of gets sustained, I think you'll see the Fed hike. You know, the other scenario, which would be bullish for precious metals, is the stock market rises, but it kind of gets stuck around the old highs and it kind of forms a topping pattern for most of the year. You know, that would, in that scenario, I think the Fed would hold off and precious metals would get more of a bid in the, you know, middle of the year in the summer.
Yeah. So for right now, though, it's neutral to bearish, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, that answers that question. So what about the mining companies? Are they just stuck in this groove now?
Well, many of them probably are, honestly. And I think you have to look for companies that can rise on their own without the help of metals prices. And quite frankly, you know, most of these companies, they need higher metals prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at your list of companies, you know, something that I'm doing, going over everything again really closely to try and figure out, okay, what, you know, which of these things really can have a good year, you know, absent of metals prices, and which of these things really do need metals prices to rise to have a good year. So that's something I'm considering. I mean, in the exploration patch, look for companies that, you know, they're money this year drilling and they have good prospects to either find something or add a lot of value to a discovery they already made. You know, in this kind of trend, carry, we want to buy weakness. We don't really want to chase strength. So we want to buy weakness. Obviously, you have to be careful because you don't want to just buy everything that's going straight down. So those are the things that I'm keeping in my mind, along with, you know, on the producer side, looking at companies that are producers that, you know, maybe they're exploring too, and they have a chance to make a discovery or add some value to their deposits. I mean, the companies that have done that have already been in production, like Kirkland Lake, obviously, is the best example. Wesdome is another one. There's another small producer I'm looking at that's having pretty good exploration results. Those types of companies where they make a discovery, they're already in production. I mean, that's a way they can add a lot of value to what they're, you know, what they're already producing. And those stocks have done really well, regardless of metals prices. So those are the things, you know, that we should be looking at right now.
So we need companies that are pretty much due to their circumstances of their business, and that would kind of shift to producers, are somewhat divorced from the one-to-one or more relationship to gold prices. So like you said, they're increasing production, big strike, things like that, big discoveries that will move the market in spite of the negative trend of gold.
Correct. That's what we have to look for. I mean, companies that can, they can basically add value to what they're doing. They can increase their value by, you know, making a discovery, you know, honestly, making a discovery or adding value to their deposits, whether it's an exploration company or it's a producer. That's what the market really wants.
Yeah.
It wants exploration success.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's one outfit, it's not a sponsor or anything, Atlantic Gold. They're like greatly increasing their resource. They've got news probably coming out in the next week to 10 days, according to the geologist. I mean, it's out there in the records of their ability to increase their resource, and they're producing. So it's just a good story on multiple fronts.
And that's why that stock has been doing well, like some of the other names I mentioned. You can also put them in the same category. Those three have been doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So good news travels fast. That's the point. And so this is a case where the actual play is divorced from metals. It's just companies that are managing their businesses well, and like you said, adding value without having to rely upon the latest price of gold. Hey, we got to cut this a little bit short. I got a plane to catch in a while, but we find you at thedailygold.com. Tell us how people connect with you and what they get there.
Thedailygold.com is my website. You can find all the work that I do there. Interviews like these get posted there. I usually write in article once a week, and once or twice a month I do a video. So if you're looking for information on precious metals from a macro technical point of view, I mean, I technicals is my bread and butter, but I also look at the fundamentals. That's, you're going to find it all at thedailygold.com.
Excellent. Hey, and got any questions or comments, want to be a part of the show, email us kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And if you're listening on YouTube or on our regular podcast channel, please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps me a lot when you do. It helps get the show out there, helps get people like Jordan and Roy Byrne heard where they need to be heard. Jordan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Carrie, thanks so much for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.